I'm Steve Potter. This is Cityscape. Time now for Sound Bites, our monthly segment in partnership with Sauce Magazine. The restaurant Little Country Gentleman opened last fall in Clayton. It's unique in several ways for St. Louis. Please welcome chef owner Mike Randolph and Sauce Magazine's senior staff writer, LaGaya Figueres. Hi and welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
LaGaya, Little Country Gentleman is reviewed in the January Sauce Magazine. And of course, the magazine this month is Ones to Watch, where you feature a lot of up-and-comers, I guess, people to keep an eye on in the new year.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we have seven people who we have our eye on, and we think they're going to be future stars in St. Louis's culinary scene. So check it out.
All right, Chef Mike Randolph. Little Country Gentleman, what an interesting concept, because you actually have two restaurants in one location at different times of day, sort of a two-for-one. Would you explain that concept?
It was just something that kind of came about, cleaning out the restaurant one day, getting out of there at 3 o'clock, and it was like, you know, two things. What am I going to do with my Saturday night as a cook? And then that kind of dawned on me that, like, hey, wait a second, we could potentially multi-purpose this space and clean up, break down, set up as a new establishment, and go from there.
But the important element is it's a completely different restaurant in the same space.
It's a totally different restaurant in the same space. And actually, it's the second advent of this concept, because we started off, not to dilute it even more, but we started off as a Mexican restaurant at first, and then we shuttered the doors about 3 months later, and then we moved on to do what we really wanted to do, which is Little Country Gentleman.
LaGaya, how unusual is this concept for St. Louis? And I know it has been done other places.
Mm-hmm. For St. Louis, it's quite unique. The only place that I can think of that maybe is kind of similar and has recently shut down is La Luma's Side Door, and that's in the Central West End. But really, that space wasn't necessarily a restaurant in a restaurant, as opposed to the chef owner decided to use the back space, like a spillover space that was maybe, you know, a private dining area, and opened that up as its own restaurant. And so, you know, it had a different access door for the front door. But both have since closed.
Well, you know, some restaurants have different menus, maybe for lunch and dinner, but they have the same name. So just make it clear how this is different.
These are two totally different establishments. So there's very little overlap in the front of the house staff, the back of the house staff, the product that we use.
The staff's completely different.
The staffs are completely different. Yeah, I have a chef at Half and Half, and then I have a full brigade, two cooks actually at Little Country Gentleman that work explicitly at night for me at Little Country Gentleman.
Well, you mentioned Half and Half, and that's what you call your place at breakfast and lunch hours.
Exactly. So this is the third half, yeah.
And do you have a coffee program at Half and Half? What's that?
Well, we source coffee from all over the place. Mike Marquardt is the general manager of the restaurant and also takes the lead as the barista at the restaurant. So we have coffees from Intelligentsia in Chicago and, you know, Handsome Roasters in L.A. and Counterculture in North Carolina. So we're consistently scouring to find the best coffee. And then we'll usually have two or three coffees available and a ton of different brewing techniques as well.
All right, back to Little Country Gentleman. There are several things, I think, that make it really unique. And one is an approach known as molecular gastronomy. I'm trying to wrap my head around it, so I need you to help me explain it. Is it sort of art meet science in the kitchen?
It's certainly the science of food. I would say the two kind of luminaries in molecular gastronomy were Harold McGee and then the Spanish chef Ferran Adrià. And I would say with El Bulli, it more defined the restaurant. For us, we just kind of borrow certain techniques to help accentuate flavor. So it's the very technical science of things like how to cook an egg and at what temperature does the white coagulate and the proteins and all of these different things. So I could talk for hours, but yeah, that's the gist of it. So it's very simply the science of food.
It's sort of a new concept, isn't it, from the 90s, that recently?
For sure. Yeah, I think he started in the late 80s. And now it's becoming more and more popular. There's places in Chicago, they've kind of taken the ball and run with it in terms of the American molecular gastronomy movement, Alinea and Modo. But you're seeing it more and more with young chefs coming out of culinary school these days that's what they want to do. So,
well, LaGaya, the term itself sounds complicated. Is it really?
I mean, I would say it's complicated in the sense that you and I are not really, you know, doing this kind of thing in our own homes. I think that it can be, as a diner, as complicated as you want to make it. In terms of enjoying it, if, you know, if you want to pay attention that there's a certain powder, you know, garnishing your plate or on top of something, or understanding, you know, perhaps that there was prepared sous vide method or something like that, you can do that. If you don't feel like engaging in that level of, you know, paying attention to what's on the plate and you just simply want to enjoy flavors, I think that that's okay too.
Right. You raise a good point. Mike, isn't it important to understand the concept? We're talking about the concept. Isn't it important as a diner to have any understanding of what we're talking about right now at all?
Yes and no. I think, I mean, for me as a cook, I would walk into a restaurant and I would see techniques, you know, put forth on the plate, and I would be, you know, I'd kind of laugh and I would say, I wonder how they did that, or I think it's really cool that they took the time to do that. But for us, at the end of the day, it's all about coming up with food that tastes good. So if we cook a piece of beef, you know, if we brine it in a specific dilution of salt and water and then we sous vide at a specific temperature, and, you know, there is a good deal of science that goes into that. But for you, the diner, the only thing that matters is when you, you know, you put your fork to that piece of meat that it's, you know, tender and delicious. So that's right. Kind of what we shoot for.
So if someone listening thinks it sounds complicated, in a way it's not. And that's another thing that makes that Little Country Gentleman unique, I think, is that as a diner, I don't really have to understand this because I don't really have to make a choice because you have a set menu.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and that's why we try to keep some of the menu terms vague because, quite honestly, if we did go into everything that was in every dish, you would need a dictionary. I mean, it would be a very long menu. So,
right. It would hurt my head. Let's go back to the prescribed menu. So you have just a couple of choices to make, whether you want a three-course, a six-course meal, mm-hmm. or there's one beyond that.
Yeah, we're actually going to switch things up a little bit next week. We're going to do – so the three-course menu is kind of like the you come in, you have two options at each course. So we kind of
give me an example.
So the first course options right now are kale soup, which is a really nice bright green, vibrant kale soup, some braised kale, little crispy kale, and red pepper flakes. So it's a very simple dish. And then the other first course option is kind of a Japanese-influenced steak tartare. So you would choose between one of those two, and then we'd have two seafood options and two meat options.
I see.
So you can kind of put together your meal like that. And it, you know, we love cooking for vegetarians. We have fun cooking for vegans, and, you know, I think all of those things are a challenge for us. So we're always willing to, you know, to do whatever we can to accommodate dietary restrictions and things of that nature.
Well, how often and why do options change?
All the time. All the time. A lot of time because I'll wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and be terrified that a dish isn't working or I don't like it or it got too weird and I think we need to pull it back
in. So you have food nightmares?
Yeah, I have food nightmares. It never stops. I mean, my wife and my cooks can attest to that. So they get text messages at all hours of the day. So, you know, new dish yesterday, new dish today, and then we're going to get rid of the six-course menu in the GTM and just focus on an eight-course menu starting next week. So that'll be an entirely new menu there, too.
Well, when you're talking about courses, when you get up to eight courses, obviously portion sizes must be small.
Portion sizes are small. It turns out to be more like 10, you know, you get an amuse and you get an intermezzo and maybe a freebie course in there. So you're getting actually 10 or 12 plates of food probably by the time it's all said and done with an eight-courser. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really do need to make sure that people are full when they walk out, satiated, but not, you know, in need of a nap and all that.
Ready
kind
to
of
explode.
Stuff. Yeah. So you do have to walk a line with that.
I personally like the idea, but are all diners ready for it? Because so many people are used to options, you know, having nine choices of a salad. So this is totally different. You've got to really trust the chef. Right.
Yeah, I think, you know, by and large, most of the people that come in know what they're getting into. And, you know, I think over the last 2-3 weeks, we've trended more with the six courses and the GTMs, which is great to see, because if we had our wits about us, it would be, you know, we'd have one menu, it'd be eight courses, and that'd be it. But, you know, it is still St. Louis, and, you know, we still need to keep pushing the ball up the hill slowly, and diners love options, even if they are limited.
That's Chef Mike Randolph from Little Country Gentleman. We're also talking to LaGaia Figueres of Sauce Magazine. LaGaia, describe the experience as a diner.
As a diner at of any sort of place that's offering a set menu, or specifically at Little Country Gentleman.
How about yes?
Okay, both, right? Yeah, because if we can talk a little bit about that, that it is a trend in general to now have these tasting menus more, and the grand tasting menus in particular are showing up more and more. As a diner, I think you do have to be aware what you are walking into. That it's like, okay, I'm going to surrender a little bit to this experience. And, you know, so if you're thinking, I'm going to go out and have a steak tonight, you know, that's not what you're doing. You're saying,
or you can
know,
you leave the onions out of the vegetable dish? You don't do that here.
No, it's, wait, isn't it? So modifications politely declined.
Yeah, we worked with our wording on that as best we could to come up with
it. Except for, you know, allergies and dietary restrictions.
Yeah, we're not crazy.
I think one of the neat things that they're doing is diners more and more are looking for what I would call an experience where, you know, I could go home and cook dinner and we eat dinner and I'm done and we all go on to the next thing. But when you're going out, people are looking for, you know, almost holistically, and this is even going to encompass his beverage program as well, which is phenomenal, both on the, you know, the wine side as well as even cocktails, and this whole idea to pair things. And so, you know, from everything, at the moment that you walk in the door and they're handing you, you know, a glass of Prosecco and an Amuse, which is just like a one-bite special welcome to, you know, Little Country Gentleman kind of thing, all of a sudden, you just want to let yourself go and do just enjoy what the chef is offering, what his crew is doing.
Would you comment, Mike, on what the guy was just talking about? I read about that too. Like a half when you walk in, a half glass of Lambrusco, and she said a one portion, like it's a little serving on
a
spoon.
Yeah, so we always, you know, we try to do the a couple of little things throughout the course of your meal. You know, we tried to create an ambiance and the whole 20s era prohibition kind of thing with the bow ties and the 10 Pan Alley kind of, you know, jazz playing. But beyond that, you know, a free comp pour of champagne that's good, you know. We have two or three that we use. We always have an Amuse available. We give you some cookies on your way out. Every you know, place setting is adorned with a Mark Twain quote that we feel is some way applicable to what we're doing. So, you know, we know we can control the food, but we want to try to make it as much of an experience beyond just the food and the wine.
And I think the other part where they are making it a really fun experience is in the naming of their menu items, and that is because they are so simple. I would say that as a diner, when you see something that says kale soup, oyster and caviar, veal, lamb, actually I think a great one is an example of pig, you know, like, okay, well, I'm getting pork tonight. But that can change. It enables Mike and his crew to change on the fly if they need to, and freedom in that. But as a diner, you don't have to be too familiar with all you need to know is the word pig, and you can guess that you're getting something with pork. And that's very approachable.
That goes against something that I'm not saying it's right or wrong, that I always thought was important for restaurants was consistency. Like, people expect things made in a certain way all the time, but you're kind of shaking that whole idea.
Well, my servers and my front of the house people will always say, like, I'm afraid to tell you this because you'll take it off the menu, but people love the kale soup or something like that.
Because said that to him when we were waiting. I said to him, is the black pepper biscuit still on the menu? And he goes, no. It was awesome. It was tomato jam with black pepper biscuit with a country fried skin in that.
It was
phenomenal. It's gone.
Yeah, we like to retire things on a high note, so we always do that. But I think with the menu, with the vague terminology, we want there to be a sense of humor. I don't want you to sit down for a three-hour meal and just have this humorless experience. So I feel like, you know, we try to impart that with the food, with the technique, and then also like the kale soup. I was telling Dale that, you know, we're probably just going to name that green on the menu.
Very nice.
People be like, green? What is that? You know, so... So we want people to get a laugh here and there, you know. And
I like the element of surprise.
Yeah, that's a big deal of what we go for. The GTM is totally, the grand tasting menu is totally unwritten. So as a diner, you know, we ask you if you have any allergies or strong dislikes. But aside from that, you really have no idea what you're getting yourself into.
Well, in a review that I read, it said don't miss cow or any fish course. Now, of course, by the next few days, you may take these off the menu, but...
Cow is gone, and the fish. Cow is gone. The fish courses have changed. New fish course today. So yeah, there. It's, you know, the menu is always changing. But I feel like that's what makes us sharp. That's what makes us better as cooks.
Isn't that just such an interesting concept? Because it seemed like in days gone by, restaurants wanted to be known for like their one signature item, and this is just the opposite of that.
That's a very curious observation. Yeah, I think I'm agreeing. Well, you know what? The creativity on the part of the chef, I mean, that's the thing that I think almost keeps them wanting to come to work every day. And so, yeah, you do want to please your diners. And there is definitely something about saying, yes, you know, our French onion soup does not change and we all know how to make it. And we can show that we are very talented in doing the same thing and executing it properly day after day. But there is the flip side, I think, in the kitchen. There's a drive to want to be able
for
to
sure.
create.
And I think it goes back to a fundamental conversation that's really everywhere in food right now. It's, you know, do you want to coddle your guests or do you want to challenge your guests? And hopefully we find a fine line in between where you do feel challenged, but you also feel comfortable. So we don't want somebody to come in and do a 6-course menu, come in 2 weeks later and do the exact same 6-course menu. You know, we want them to be afforded some new opportunities.
So have you found people open to this, or does it sort of take
them
by surprise?
We have a lot of repeat customers. We have a handful of people that come in maybe once every 2 weeks and do a grand taster with wine, which is, you know, a 3-hour endeavor if you're eating pretty quickly. So
now another unique element, you know, we've talked about prescribed menu and things, but fixed price.
Fixed price, yeah. So, you know, again, with the restaurant in a restaurant concept, we have a very unique opportunity at Little Country Gentleman. So every place I've ever worked, every place I've ever cooked, you've been so focused on your food cost and your beverage cost. And, as you know, as a chef, your food cost and your pay sometimes is tied into that. But the opportunity we have, you know, basically living in our parents' basement, not paying any rent, is we can run a higher food cost because we don't have to pay Clayton rent as a restaurant. You know, Little Country Gentleman sustains itself and half sustains itself. So it's really nice.
In the Sauce Magazine review, Michael Renner writes that, and I quote, "St. Louis needs Mike Randolph to challenge us, to push us from good to great." So those are very kind words.
Yeah, it was a little longer.
But
it's very kind words. This is one of the most glowing reviews I have seen from Michael Renner in a long time.
Although, LaGaia, you take issue with some of the review.
Only one phrase, one sentence, and I'll read that. Quote, "Unless you're part of the 1%, Little Country Gentleman is not a place you return to on a regular basis." That's the part I disagree with. Now, let me go on. It is a food experience, a place where you surrender all preconceptions, trust Randolph and his team, and embrace the unexpected. That is how cities gain reputations for great restaurants. Now, I agree with all of it except for the part about the 1%. And that is, I think that you can return to a restaurant like Mike Randolph's and others who are doing, you know, some of these tasting menus regularly if you do something like the 3 for $38 option.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mike did mention that he does offer a la carte at the bar. But there are, I think that, you know, if you're going to go to a steakhouse, you're already going to pay a whopping amount for that steak, you know, a little bit more, and you're getting three beautiful courses. So I think you could go on a regular basis.
All right. And you've just been open, what, 3 or 4 months now?
Yeah, something like that. Seems like 2 years, but yeah.
We're talking to Chef Mike Randolph from Little Country Gentleman. And Mike, before you go, I want to mention that it was just announced recently that you're moving the Good Pie from Midtown.
Yeah, we are. It's something that's been in the works for a while. You know, we've had a good run in Midtown. We've built a brand there. We have a lot of loyal customers. There were a couple of facts that really led us to the decision. You know, it's closer to my restaurants. It's closer to my home. And, you know, we just thought that there was a lot more commotion on in a good way in the loop. You know, a lot more people living near there, a lot more people walking past there, a lot more people out at night. So, yeah, we're excited. And we're going to do everything we can to rebuild the restaurant as a pizzeria. So dimly lit and a lot of the same features that we have now. And a brand new pizza oven, which we're really excited about.
Well, I'm assuming that the pizza stays the same and doesn't change every 3 days, right?
No.
Okay.
No, that's why I went crazy making pizza. So.
And, look, I have one more thing I just wanted to mention in the January Sauce Magazine. What in the world are finger limes? Because you wrote an interesting little article.
Yes, I did. The what in the world. That was our unique ingredient for the month. Finger limes, think of it as citrus caviar. So it looks almost like you're a small portion of your index finger kind of thing. You cut it open, and when you squeeze these squeeze the sacs, they come out looking like caviar, but it's citrus. And so, you know, the recipe we put in there is from Nick Miller over at Harvest, and that's how he's doing oysters. So essentially, oysters on the half shell.
They're really cool product, actually. They pop in your mouth just like caviar. They're small. I mean, you don't get a lot of yield out of them, They're nice for garnishing and finishing.
New one on me. I'll try that. Well, that and the review of Little Country Gentleman is in the January issue of Sauce Magazine. LaGaya Figueres, we'll see you again soon, I'm sure.
Hope so.
And Chef Mike Randolph, continued success with Little Country Gentleman.
I appreciate it.
And time now for a look at the Cityscape calendar. Barbara Harbach's musical score, Phantom of the Dream's Origin, premieres in a concert by the St. Louis Chamber Players tonight at 7:30 in the Two Hill Performing Arts Center's Lee Theater on the UMSL campus. Jazz St. Louis presents Javier Mendoza's Latin Jazz Experiment in sets at 7:30 and 9:30 tonight and tomorrow night at Jazz at the Bistro on Washington. The Black Reps production of August Wilson's The Piano Lesson opens tonight at 8 and will continue through February 2nd at the Grand Ole Theater. Last week on Cityscape, we talked with Leonard Slatkin and Mark Gordon about Notes for Hollywood, a concert to benefit the Chamber Music Society of St. Louis. A reminder that it takes place Monday night at 7 o'clock at the Sheldon Concert Hall. Then, Leonard Slatkin will be Don Marsh's guest Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock on St. Louis on the Air. The conversation will include discussion of Slatkin's career since leaving the St. Louis Symphony, his new book, Conducting Business, Unveiling the Mystery Behind the Maestro, and the state of symphony orchestras and music education in this country. You can be part of the audience for that broadcast. Just plan to arrive at St. Louis Public Radio's Community Room at 3651 Olive by 10:45 Tuesday morning. And you can find out more about these and other events on the events section of stlpublicradio.org. Next week on Cityscape, we'll meet the members of the Dixon String Quartet and hear about their participation in UMSL's Martin Luther King Observance. Then we'll also take a look at the Louie Awards for Excellence in Local Theater. Join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air when he'll talk with the new chief of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, Sam Dotson. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, engineered by Aaron Dorr, with production assistance from Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening. Join us next week.